My guest at this time is Romina Baccia. She is a fellow in budgetary affairs at the Heritage Foundation in Washington. We want to get her insights on the budget deal unveiled earlier this week by Paul Ryan and Patty Murray and passed in the House of Representatives on Thursday. It appears to have tougher sledding in the Senate, but indications suggest it'll probably pass there as well. And Romina, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Well, both sides admit this isn't really exactly what they wanted. Rank and file on both sides not too happy with it. And a lot of people, of course, say that if nobody likes it, it's probably a relatively even compromise here.
Uh-huh.
What do you make of the goals here? John Boehner says if you like deficit reduction, then, well, you should be happy with this.
I'd like to clarify a few things. I think this is largely a smokescreen that nobody likes it. What both parties like about this deal is that it increases spending, and it does so immediately by a fairly large amount, $63 billion over the next 2 years. Any deficit reduction wouldn't happen until 9 years later. It wouldn't start until 2022 that there would be any real deficit reduction. And even those savings may never materialize because the nature of them are Medicare provider cuts, and there are more than $700 billion of those in the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and the actuaries have already said these are unsustainable. Nursing facilities would have to operate at a loss, and many Medicare patients might lose access to care. So already down the road, there's a high risk of overturning those savings. So what do taxpayers end up with? More spending now and promises of savings in the future that may never materialize.
What would you have liked to have seen in this deal?
What we have liked to have seen is, if you think about the intent of this sequestration spending cap was to force lawmakers to grapple with our real spending and debt challenge. And that is a real challenge, and they didn't address that problem. How could they have done it? If they had done a down payment on the debt with some meaningful reform to programs like Medicare, not fake price control cuts, but actual reforms that would have made the program more affordable and sustainable for future generations. They also could have done something smaller, like implementing a more accurate inflation measure for Social Security and other federal benefits. Medicaid, of course, there's a lot of room. Obamacare would have been a great thing if they had overturned or somehow changed, because as we know and we hear more stories every day, how it's hurting Americans and the law needs to be rewritten. So there's a lot of things that lawmakers could have done, but in the end what they decided to do is to increase spending for promises of deficit reduction, and those may never come to fruition.
We're talking with Romina Baccia of the Heritage Foundation. And Romina, the one thing the Democrats really wanted in here that they didn't get is the extension of unemployment benefits. So that's also being spun by Republicans as a pretty big win here, although the Democrats vowed to fight on that front. How big of an issue is it that that was not in the deal?
There is a risk that Democrats will bring this to the table in January and basically retroactively instill those benefits. But what's important to keep in mind here, unemployment benefits are still available. This only eliminates the long-term unemployment benefits, which were put in place in large part as a response to the recession. The real problem we have with a lot of these long-term unemployed is for those that are actually looking for work and not and aren't able to find it, you can extend the long-term unemployment benefits longer, but in the end, they will have to become part of the other safety net if they can't get back in the job market. So what we need is an economy that works better for the American people, that creates the kinds of jobs so we don't have this long-term unemployment problem. Some of it also has to do with education and where people live. If you think about towns like Detroit, it just things aren't looking up there. So if you're living there and you're having a hard time finding a job, some of these people might be good to start looking to move to other cities where there are actually jobs. Sometimes, you know, there's this kind of moving pain associated with this, but we have a dynamic economy and not all states are doing as well as others.
The conventional wisdom is that the Republicans feel like they got the worst end of the media coverage and the blame for the government shutdown back in October, and they absolutely did not want to go through that again in January. Do you think that's a pretty fair assessment of what happened here?
I think this is likely the largest motivator, in addition to, obviously, lawmakers love to spend more. So I think those two, the fact that there's more spending and that it helps them avoid another government shutdown in January. But think about it. If there had been a government shutdown because Republicans stuck to current law and said we want a clean CR, it would have clearly been on the Democrats to cause this government shutdown. Could they have spun it in the media that this was a Republican mistake again? Maybe. But this probably won't happen now because it looks very likely that the deal will pass both houses. And the president has already signaled he will sign it. And why not the higher spending and bigger government were the twin pillars of his budget since he first took office. So this is a deal I would think the president would like very much.
One of the things you're likely to hear, if you haven't already, from Republicans who supported this on Thursday in the House of Representatives is that they like the idea of sequester in general, but the way it was structured back in 2011 with the Budget Control Act is that a huge percentage of those cuts affected the military, and those cuts were having a very detrimental impact, and so it was necessary to restore those, and in effect, they had to agree to a few others to get the deal done. So what do you say to them?
I think that lawmakers could have eliminated bad domestic programs. They could have cut in other areas. They could have done some meaningful changes in the entitlement area and offset those and prioritize defense to the extent that there is a real need for a greater military readiness and investments that work for national defense. I don't think it was necessary to bust through the spending caps. I consider this mainly an excuse.
Obviously, what's played out in the last couple of days, in addition to the debate over the bill, is Speaker Boehner and some others suggesting that those who are critical of it and who express some criticism based on reports before the deal was unveiled have lost their credibility. And I'm guessing he's considering Heritage Action as part of that. What do you make of that characterization of concerns over the budget plan?
Well, I'm not surprised. This is Boehner and Ryan's deal. They want this to pass. And for Heritage and Heritage Action to come out and explain just what's in this deal and what a bad deal this is for the American taxpayer, they don't like to hear it, so they will come out this way. But it's not our job is to educate about what's in this bill, what this means for the American taxpayer. And I can tell you, it busts through the spending caps. It taxes and spends because it raises revenue among other areas on airline passengers. And it spends now and delays savings till later. Those are the three main things which make this a bad deal.
Romina, we'll call time there. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Romina Baccia is a fellow in budgetary affairs at the Heritage Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.